Thank you so much, team. And we are continuing in our series. If you are joining us as a guest on this Mother's Day, we have been in a series out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And so we've been asking questions of that text. And the question this morning is this, on this Mother's Day morning. What if we were to seek the face of God? And as I was reflecting on how to bring this message to our church, you know, I was thinking about this congregation and the numbers of people that I could have asked to ask them this question. What does it mean to you to seek the face of God? And I have four ladies. And ladies, if you can come, and I've got four chairs here for you to sit on, so just bring your notes up, please. And can you welcome these ladies as they come to the platform, please? As these ladies are coming this morning, I could have picked numbers of ladies to answer that question. What does it mean to seek the face of God? But as I think about one of the strengths of our church here at Spa for Life is we're not only a church for every nation, and certainly you saw that today. Somebody said to me, if you want to see what your church is going to look like, look at your platform. And I leaned over to Pastor Kyle today and I said, boy, your youth group has a lot of mixed beauty in that group, doesn't it, that's coming your way. And we're not only a church for every nation, but we're a church for every generation. And on this Mother's Day, we want to bring forward the heart of God who wants his blessing to go from generation to generation to generation. And so these are four ladies that I thought of that I would like to hear from them. And I would like you to listen to them, to listen to their heart about what it means to seek the face of God. Now, maybe you've heard this little adage. It's an apple a day will keep the doctor away. Has anybody ever heard that before? But Proverbs actually has 31 books in it. And somebody said this about the book of Proverbs, because of course with 31 books in the book of Proverbs, you can have a proverb a day on top of whatever else you might be reading in the Word of God. And so someone has said this about Proverbs, a proverb a day will keep the devil away. And I kind of like that. So, I mean, if that's something that you want to do for the next months, just do it. You know, on the first of the month, read Proverbs 1 and so on and so on. You'll never have a day that you can't read a proverb. And you've heard this saying as well, that they saved the best for the last. How many of you heard that saying? I like what's in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 begins like this. The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. How many of you are glad that you had a mother that taught you about the things of God? And here's what it says. I want to read this. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? This is Proverbs 31, verse 10. She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure that her dealings are profitable and her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter, for her household, for everyone, has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspread. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches over everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. And so today, I said after we had the Heritage Hour, the 9 o'clock service, I said, do you know what these ladies did for us? It was like just four exhortations of encouragement from lives that are lived in seeking the face of God. And so this morning, you don't have an insert or a PowerPoint, but what you're going to hear is you're going to hear the answer to this question. What does it mean for you to seek the face of God? And I'd encourage you, if you have something to write on, as the Lord speaks to you today, take these notations down. The first lady that I'd like to call has actually been a member of our congregation for 63 years. And I'd like you to help me, please, in welcoming Lily Teske.
Good morning. What does it mean to me to seek the face of God? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will bring healing in their homes, in their hearts, in their lives, in their families. Now, that is a promise. I have been at Southside for 63 years. During my journey, there have been mountaintops and valleys, and Jesus has never failed me. He has truly, truly been so wonderful. My Savior, my Redeemer, my Counselor, my Comforter, my Helper, the Almighty God, He's been my Father, and I was safe in His embrace. Jesus was and is my Prince of Peace. In the midst of the storms, He is with me. Jesus is so personal and so real to me in my everyday life, 24/7. My very favorite place to this very day is the house of God. This is where I belong. Here I got confirmation and answers to so many questions through the Word of God, through the ministry of our pastors. I prayed more than once, God, do whatever it takes, but please change me. Don't leave me the way I am. I want to become more like you. January this year, I prayed, oh, dear Lord Jesus, I am nearing home. I need to know you more. I will spend all of eternity with you. Please give me an obedient heart, pure and undefiled, for out of the heart flow the issues of life. Renew my mind. I need your unconditional love to love my brothers and sisters the way you do. Let your love flow like a fountain out of my heart for your glory and for your praise. I need to experience what I read in your word. It is my manual. It's your love letter to me. Then, on January the 5th, I had a sudden severe fall. For 3 months, I was isolated and confined to my suite. I had time to refocus. I also had a strong desire to be in a service where heaven would just open and the glory would saturate my heart afresh. The Holy Spirit did just that. I responded in complete surrender. Here's my heart, my mind, my thoughts. Sanctify me, but my tongue, I literally laid it on the altar, nailed it to the cross. Jesus, now help me to speak only what would edify, encourage, and bless others. Loving one another is the highest virtue. Loving one another from the heart is a witness, and it is Christ-like. Lifting up Jesus in worship, meaning the way we live in praise and with thanksgiving. It pleases the Lord to reveal his power and miracles within the church. That means among us, united in purpose, in zeal. Southside will be a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, and lives will be made whole. When Jesus arose, he triumphed over sin, over every sin, over death. He asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and that's why we can live in victory, because all things are possible to them that believe. Jesus is the Lord of all situations. Praise the Lord! How great and awesome is our God! Hallelujah! Now, I see some of my family here this morning. My girls are like angels to me. My son-in-laws are definitely the best of the best. My grandchildren are a treasure. My great-grandbaby is a gift. Thank you, Jesus, for each one of them. And the promise is that the blessing will flow into the exceeding generations. Only our God can do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. You know, on the pulpit here, we have a vision for our church. It's Spa for Life. Can you say that with me, please? Spa for Life. And now look at the front of your bulletin, if you picked up a bulletin when you came in today. And I believe on the front of the bulletin is our mission. Can we read that out loud? This is our mission as a church: loving God and leading people to the living Lord. You know, as I was thinking about these four ladies coming, and I was thinking about the heart of God, as Lily was saying, that is to be extended from generation to generation. I was thinking about the words that the Apostle Paul brought to a young preacher, Timothy, and how that Paul encouraged Timothy in the faith. And I just wanted to read this text to you, because this is the heart of the Father today for each one of you. Now, you'll remember when I read Proverbs 31, verse 1, it said, these are the words of King Lemuel, and these are things that his mother taught him. I want to ask this question, and I want you all to participate with this. How many of you are here this morning, and you have a mother or a father who taught you the things of faith? Can I see your hands go up high and hold them up high? A mother or a dad that taught you the things of faith. Look at how many there are. Now, thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, for those of you who perhaps you're in the first generation, you need to understand that God wants to extend the blessing of God from generation to generation to generation. And I want you to hear these words that Paul wrote to his young preaching protege, Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did." And so if you're here in the first generation, understand that as the Lord tarries, God is wanting these blessings of heaven to come upon the generations that follow you. "Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again." And here's what he says: "I remember
your genuine faith. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. There's three generations there. And I know that that same faith, a genuine faith, that same faith continues strong. Would you please say the word strong? You know, on this Mother's Day and every day, I want you to be reminded that God doesn't want our faith to kind of wane out from generation to generation. But if you look back upon your family lineage and you see a faith in your mother and a faith in your grandmother or grandfather, God wants that same faith to continue strong in you. I thank God that that same faith continues strong in you. And this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. You know, as you hear from these ladies today, what our prayer is, as we've prayed together, is that God will remind you of the spiritual gifts that he's given you and remind you of the stewardship that you have. The next lady that's going to come and speak to us gave her heart to the Lord with her twin brother when she was 5 years of age. It was her father that was leading them in family devotions and asked her if she would like to receive Jesus. Would you please welcome Dr. Lillian Douglas to come and tell us this morning what it means to seek the face of God.
I'm not running away. I just have to get my glasses. A number of scriptures encourage God's people to seek his face. Psalm 105, verse 4, reminds us to seek his face. How often? Always. Seek is an action word. It suggests a determined, passionate searching to achieve an end or a goal, a desired end or a goal. There's no room for laxness, no room for apathy in the mind of the seeker. To me, to seek God's face means to regularly and fervently seek God or God's abiding presence. The hymn writer expressed a persistent longing after God. Help me to love you more and more. Help me to praise you o'er and o'er. Live in your presence day by day, never to turn from thee away. And then a stanza that I like is, living for Jesus till at last into his glory I have passed. There to behold him on his throne, hear from his lips, my child, well done. An earnest seeker also longs to be filled with God's presence. For them, it is not just a relationship. It's an intimate fellowship with God. Such seekers desire to manifest God's loving nature in all its beauty and its purity, living in ways that please him. They persist in their pursuit to increasingly know God. They make him known and give him first place in their life. This seeker is devoted to daily seeking God's face and favor. Spiritual disciplines are not something that he does not or she does not know about. The disciplines of prayer, the disciplines of meditating on scripture, the discipline of fasting. Seekers are hungry to experience God at heart level. Think of Paul in Philippians 3:10. He said, I want to know Christ and experience the power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. I want to share in his death. They also seek a deep and burning desire to enter the inner sanctum or holy place. David yearned for that. Psalm 84, 1 to 2 says, and this is David, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My heart yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God." Today's seeker attends the house of God and serves in ways that promote corporate or body unity and the seeking of God's face. Lastly, seekers recognize they are works in progress. A dictionary definition of a work in progress is an unfinished project that is still being added to or developed. The seeker, recognizing they haven't arrived yet, monitors their spiritual growth and development in seeking God's face. They deliberately address their spiritual weaknesses. The psalmist confirms it's worth it all to seek God's face. Listen again to Psalm 16:11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's what seeking the face of God means to me. Getting as close as I possibly can to know him, to make him known, and to demonstrate through my life that it will be worth it all one day when we see his face.
Thank you, Dr. Lill. And, you know, a part of seeking God's face is the joy that we have in worshiping the Lord. And I'd like to call up just a woman who loves to worship the Lord. Afia is going to come, and Afia is celebrating her very first Mother's Day with her newborn, Afia and Yomi. Kazia, and Kazia means sweet spice. And I just know that Afia loves to worship Jesus. And so God bless you, Afia, as you worship the Lord Jesus today. You might be wondering, well, how can Kazia be so good like that? Well, it's really simple. I mean, 9 months Kazia was down here when Mom was doing that. And now Kazia's just looking, "Mommy, I like it when you sing." You know, the song of the Lord is about seeking his face. Music is a beautiful thing, and I like all kinds of music, but I'll tell you something, there's nothing like the song of the Lord. There's nothing like God's song. What does it mean to seek the face of God? Well, this next individual came to know Jesus when she was 9 years of age, and she served in pastoral and missions work in Africa for over 60 years. Would you please help me to welcome Doris Wendland?
Good morning. Our theme for today, of course, as you have heard, is to seek the Lord. And I would especially like to say to the young people that if you are wondering what you should do with your life, I would encourage you to just take note. My scripture for this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, and it says, "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." And that's a secret for all of us, and I've had to do that many times in my life. I was 9 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord. And soon after that, we had some missionaries come to our church. They were from Africa, and their stories just thrilled my heart, made a deep impression. And I told my parents, when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary to Africa. Of course, then the teen years came, and that desire sort of faded. There was a young man that worked in our neighborhood and didn't have family around, often came to our home for a meal and spend some time. So we just naturally became friends. And one day he said to my parents, "Would you give me your blessing if I married your daughter?" And I said, I was really troubled in my spirit. I was 17 years old. Well, I went to Alberta Beach that summer, and one afternoon I came to the altar and I just cried out to the Lord, "Show me which way to go." And I'll tell you, I left the altar, the tabernacle, and the campground with the joy of the Lord just bubbling in my heart. And I talked to my father and told him I felt I should go to Bible school. And he said, "I think that's a very good idea. But if you go, I would want you to promise that you will do all 3 years." And of course, I said, "That's what I will do." They gave me a wonderful roommate. We had a lot of fun together, and we studied hard. We were very focused. We prayed together a lot and enjoyed that winter. And when summer came, we went to visit several churches in northern Alberta and conduct a daily vacation Bible school. And before we knew it, it was fall, and I was back to Northwest Bible Institute in Edmonton here for my second year. Well, my roommate was a third-year student, so any socializing we did, it was with the third-year students. And very often I found I was kind of with a very handsome young man who was very kind to me. And then as we were going towards spring, he was telling me he was excited about graduation and that he had received the call to come and pastor a small church here in Alberta. And I thought, oh, I better tell him what's in my heart. So very tactfully one day I said, "You know, I promised my father that if I would go to Bible school, I would do all 3 years." And he very calmly said, "Well, if you promised your father that you would do all 3 years, that's exactly what you have to do." So I was back to Bible school for my third year, but I was wearing a diamond ring on my finger. And after graduation, we were married on June the 7th, 1950. We were very happy, as poor as church mice, but we were excited about the ministry that God had for us. And my husband often had to fill in for another pastor, and I would take the services in our little church. Of course, there was youth ministry and Sunday school, and as days and weeks and years went by, after 7 years, Gus said to me, "You know, I feel the time has come. We have to go to Africa as missionaries." So we were sent out by the German branch of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and we went to Tanganyika, East Africa, as pioneer missionaries. The first 2 years were very difficult because we couldn't find a house to live in, so there was a lot of camping. Slept in the back of our Jeep, in a tent. One night we were sleeping in an African hut, a mud hut. My husband was putting a a roof on a school that the people had built. And we were quite happy to have a hut to sleep in that night, but there was no door. So he put a sheet of corrugated iron in front of the door. And when it got quiet, we heard lions roaring. We were very near to the Serengeti Plain. But Gus said, "Don't worry, I've got a hatchet beside my cot." Well, after 2 years, we found an abandoned gold mine, which we purchased. Of course, the German branch paid for it. And we were so happy to have a home. Then God blessed us with a beautiful baby girl, Joyce. 4 years later, we had Gerald come into our family. And life was good. We would go out to marketplaces. I would play my accordion. Gus would play his trumpet. And we always had a medicine chest with us. So I would bandage up the ulcers and give out ointment for skin diseases and malaria medicine, of course. And Gus would be handing out tracts and telling the people about the Lord. And people were saved and baptized. Churches were established. And our work was going so well. We never wondered whether we were in God's will. Yes, there were problems. There were snakes. There were ants. And there was mud. One time we were so stuck with our Jeep, 8 oxen couldn't pull us out. So we spent the night right there. But we knew that the Lord was with us. And so then the time came and we went home on our second furlough. Gus was a very sick man. He had to have major surgery. And then they told us he was disqualified from returning to Africa. We felt we were up against a brick wall. Where do we go? What do we do? We were seeking the Lord and just praying that he would show us the path to take. And then we got a call from a church in Ontario. And we said goodbye to our family and friends and spent 12 years in Ontario and pastoring churches there. But Gus always felt we should come back to Alberta. And when Barhead needed a bilingual man, they gave us a call and we were happy to say goodbye to our friends and to our church there. We came back and pastored in Barhead, and then the last years of our ministry, we spent at Shepherd's Care. Gus was the chaplain. I was working on the nursing staff. And they were very good years. Gus and I were married for 67 years. And then the Lord called him home. And again, I just have to say that I have to seek the Lord. I am so alone, but his promise is that he will never leave us. And Psalm 145, verse 3 says, "The Lord always keeps his promise." So today, if you feel unsettled, unsure in your heart, disquieted, seek the Lord. He will show you which way to go, and he will give you his wonderful peace. May God bless you.
Thank you, Doris. I remember as a kid, does anybody remember playing the game Snakes and Ladders? Yeah, but I don't know about lions and snakes and ants. I mean, that's an adventure. There's nothing like following after the Lord Jesus. I have to tell you that this last lady that I've asked to speak today, other than the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, my life would not be what it is were it not for my wife, Wanda. And I remember when I was dating this cute 18-year-old girl 40 years ago, that the greatest thing in my life happened. I was at her sister's house sharing with her how I had come to know Jesus Christ. And we knelt down at her sister's couch, and I was able to lead my then-girlfriend, Wanda, to the Lord Jesus Christ at 18. And I can remember as we together, as a young couple, we were married, and then as we began to serve the Lord, we were very involved in the life of our church, Glad Tidings Tabernacle in Sudbury. I was managing a furniture store and just loving it, really enjoying it. And I had had a tug on my heart to go to Bible college, and Wanda said, well, you should go talk to the pastor. And I talked to Pastor Paul Cast, and he said, yes, you should apply. And so we had applied, and everything was in progress, but really I wanted that corporate call, to be honest, as a couple. And I can remember one morning at about 2 a.m, I awoke, and Wanda was sitting upright in bed, awake. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, Doug, I think we should go to Bible college. And so I did. I had been accepted, and so we went to Bible college that year. And Wanda got her PhD. That's putting hubby through. She worked. And I went to Bible school, but I can tell you, I wouldn't have went to Bible college. I wouldn't have finished Bible college, and I certainly would not be standing before you here if it were not for my wife, Wanda. I just love her more than anything, and I've asked her to share with you what it means in her heart to seek the face of God.
Thank you. I do remember that day, you know, being raised, going to church, but not really having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Doug sharing that opportunity with me, and I knew I love God and I wanted to go to heaven. So I said, no, let's just pray right now. And little did I know the impact that would have on my life. And so if any of you are here today and perhaps you haven't made that decision, I really want to encourage you to, you know, just risk it all for the love of God, and he will come into your heart and he will truly fill those voids that you have. Well, when I think about what it means to seek the face of God, I am reminded of the special blessing that the priests would give to God's people. And I pray that over all the mothers that are here today, over each and every household that is represented, and over each one, no matter what age or stage that you are in, young, old, married, single, let this blessing touch your heart and life on this Mother's Day. It's found in Numbers 6, 24 to 26, and it says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Well, first of all, people who seek God's face know the blessing and the protection of the Lord. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. We have just heard from these three ladies that exemplify God's hand on their lives, and our church family is filled with such people. When I think of these ladies, I'm reminded of my mother-in-law, Tilly, or affectionately known to me as Noni, who right from the beginning of meeting her encouraged me to seek the face of God and grow and share God's blessings with others. She stood at her kitchen sink and she named our names in prayer. And I think of after we were married, she turned Doug's bedroom into a prayer room. And we could hear many times her calling out to God on our behalf. Influence others for good. You have this amazing God-honoring perspective to share. People who seek the face of God have a smile on their face and shine with God's grace. May the Lord smile on you and give you may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. That's what it says in Numbers. One thing I've noticed that the happiest people on earth are those who have discovered the fullness of God's riches and grace. They have a God-given smile on their face. As part of the spa prayer team line, I would phone Agnes Redmond's house, and this is what I would hear on her answering machine. Gratitude is the best attitude. A life touched by God's grace will put a smile on your face. Well, thanks, Agnes, and God bless you today. You remind me that God is the key to happiness. There are so many situations that come upon our lives. You know, happiness can be found in situational things. But beyond that, we all crave to have that secure happiness in our hearts. And that is only found by seeking God's face. So ladies, even today when you receive a flower, be reminded of the life of God living within each one of your hearts and lives that is continually growing and has great potential as you are nurtured in his wonderful love. Just like the flower, when you take it home, you're going to have to care for it. And so our hearts are the same way. As we take that time to seek the face of God, we will find the answers and have that security and knowledge of what to do. People who seek God's face walk in favor and have his peace. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Having the favor of God does not mean that all our days will be sunny or that we will never experience difficulty, but it does mean that God is always with you and Jesus will never leave you. This past year, my 95-year-old mom experienced some breathing difficulties and had to be put on oxygen. And I went to visit her, and as she was using the oxygen that was provided, she did that until she could manage on her own. But, you know, she did become stronger each day, and I realized that her determination and peace in the midst of her weakness allowed me to continue to have peace. And many of you today perhaps have an illness. I mean, I do always have Dave Real on my heart. But you know, God will give us the peace that we need for each and every situation as we come to him, as we bring these things to him. Jesus said, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you." So ladies, be blessed today on Mother's Day. I want to pronounce a blessing over you. Each and every one of you are so important. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Happy Mother's Day.